Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Matthew 10, 2 through 4 provides a list of the 12 apostles. These men were to prepare others for the coming of the Lord's kingdom. Eventually, they would be given the great commission to go into all the world to preach the gospel of the Son of God. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16. But Matthew 10 records what preachers often call the limited commission. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew 10, 5 and 6. The instructions Jesus gave in this section of Matthew are unique to his gospel. They extend all the way to the end of this chapter. Some critics may think they see in the Lord's arrangements some bias toward Gentiles and Samaritans. But a careful reading of the New Testament would show any honest student that Jesus Christ was not prejudiced toward either group. He came into the world that both Jews and Gentiles might be able to turn from their wickedness and to embrace the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded his apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16, 15 and 16. That Jesus had no bias toward the Samaritans can be gleaned from a number of incidents in his life. For example, Christ met and talked with a woman of Samaria. He respected her and talked with her as if she had been a Jewish male. John 4. One of the Lord's best-known stories relates to the Good Samaritan. Luke 10. It ought to be obvious that Jesus loved both Gentiles and Samaritans. He freely gave his life for all human beings, no exception. But in the limited commission, Jesus had a specific goal in mind. He wanted the apostles to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Is it significant that the unfaithful Jews are called the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Have our Calvinist friends ever considered what that expression means? Can those who are sheep ever be lost sheep? The Jews under the Mosaic Covenant were God's children. If they could be lost, then why may not Christians be lost? In other words, children of God under the Old Covenant could turn their backs on God and be lost. The children of God living under the New Covenant can do the same. If that were not true, why would the author of Hebrews write, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Hebrews 3, 12. If Christians cannot fall from grace, what is the point in warning them against falling? Was the Lord wanting his apostles to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel so they could be the first to enter the kingdom when it was established on the day of Pentecost? Jesus Christ outlined his plan for reaching the lost in these words, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and under the uttermost parts of the earth." Acts 1, 8. The Apostle Paul expressed his willingness to preach to the Greeks and to the barbarians. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 1, 14 through 16. We may not be able to discern all the reasons why God sent the apostles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and not to the Gentiles and Samaritans, but we know he did. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.